I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome. You sound excited because today's going to be a very, very, very different show. We are only doing love dedications. So we're going to take your calls and we're going to fish out all the great romantic ballads of the past 50 years.
Oh, right? I'm so excited to be here today.
I'll bet you have one. A romantic ballad that you have really cherished. Your wedding song or something? Or,
I love Open Arms by Journey.
See,
one of my favorites.
Oh, Jesus.
I knew she...
You like that one?
That's one of my favorites. I mean, I have a whole list, but I can't think of them right off the top.
Okay. That one would get me not just like turning off the radio, but I'd pull over to the side of the road and remove my radio.
Crazy for You by Madonna.
That's bad.
Oh, yeah. That's another one. Right. Right. What was that Bryan Adams song I brought up a few months ago?
You also liked. I love that.
Nothing can change what you mean to me.
This is not the way I envisioned us opening the program today.
Happy Valentine's Day.
How excited she is? There's hearts popping out of her head in the air.
Bring back all the greatest hits of the Valley Girls.
Did you get her French fries today? Well, not that she's your Valentine. I don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything,
but no, he did not get me French fries. That would have been a nice thing. But
yeah,
no,
right?
No.
Like little red sprinkles on them. And was that you again?
Yeah.
Did you just make that noise?
I did.
Eric, mark that, please.
Oh, God.
Holy mackerel. That was another one with lots of saliva.
I don't think you're going to get French fries after that noise. I don't know what is that a sign of approval or what?
I don't know what it was.
Jeez.
In actuality, that's all we'll say about Valentine's Day. So there you go.
Okay.
John's happier.
Got it out of the way.
We are going to begin, though, with one of the bigger stories today. And I don't know why. After I saw this story and I was walking around the house thinking about it, John Cobalt popped into my head because it made me laugh because there was a point when he called this person Fine Bag. Do you remember that? Yes. And what was Friday's noise? Do you have that one too?
Yeah.
Because we're going to use that for the hack in a dumpster, right?
We have a lot of files on her.
They're similar, but this one, the one Friday was a little more wet. Yes, wet.
Yeah,
that was the word I was looking for.
That one splattered.
And that is her Valentine to the audience.
Happy Valentine's Day, y'all.
Take that.
What a mature show.
Wow.
Well, back in the day when she was actually speaking or doing anything, we haven't talked about her in years because clearly
she's
not been in the
mental state.
Right?
She doesn't do anything anymore.
Right. Basically a very passive situation. They're 89 years old. Remember the days of clutching pearls, we used to say, because she would make these announcements that sounded like she was so nervous and so fragile and she always wore those big pearls around her neck. Mm-hmm. So we'd always be like, she's pearl clutching again. But yeah, she has not been in the forefront of anything legislatively for many years that I can think of.
Well, there isn't anything going on inside anymore.
No, she walks around the hallways of the Senate, and she does get angry with her staff.
And
there's something going on.
And reintroduces herself
but
every day to her
staff.
It's
the classic symptoms of forgetfulness and also quick to anger.
Yeah.
When you're kind of in this declining mental state.
Because there's holes.
You get impatient and then you don't understand why they don't understand. But of course, they're puzzled because you're not remembering anything.
Well, Alzheimer's patients have holes in their brain. You know, the Swiss cheese.
Yes, like
effect.
Swiss cheese. Yes.
Well, you're arguing with a hole. wherever the information used to be.
Yes.
Or the part of the brain that would control outbursts, that's now empty. It's space for rent. So
and
there's
the one
what are
thing
you gonna
that
do?
Is really true. I'm nowhere near her age, but I know this to be true. Short-term memory does become a problem. Short-term memory. A lot of times you have things stored in your brain, experiences you've had. Long-term memory can be sharp. But if 5 minutes later, I'm like, what was it I was going to do?
Oh, yeah, I was going to put my pants on. Yeah, right. Okay.
Exactly.
Ah, crap,
and that's
I'm
her problem.
In the car.
And a lot of what you deal with in that job is short-term memory because they're bringing up issues. And
like remembering the person you just met?
Yes. Well, we've all had that problem. Well, that's only when you're introduced to 10 people at a party. It's like, I don't remember any day. Yeah, so the big announcement is she is not going to run for re-election next year. So it's done. She's already 89. She would have been 90 by the time she would have been in her mid-90s.
It's a good thing, you know, you don't really need senators for anything.
You don't. You and I downplay the importance of most of these positions. They're largely symbolic.
No, because everybody in California will vote exactly the same. I don't think there's going to be any difference between how Feinstein votes and whoever the next sack of potatoes is. I don't think there's any difference between her votes and the other. What's the name of the other senator?
Well, I kind of disagree. Maybe not anymore, but there was a time she would speak up about immigration. She sounded, what's the word they use, moderate, compared to that dope boxer. And now this whole left-wing crowd we got now.
But Padilla, now everybody's...
And these two idiots, Adam Schiff is running to replace her and Katie Porter. Oh, they are way out there. This, John, I would compare to the LA City Council with the Democrat socialists taking over. That's even more extreme than what we've seen. Maybe not more extreme than Bonin, but some of the other council members. I think Feinstein falls into that category. I saw that quote yesterday by a guy who I think put it right. He said, well, you know, they used the term progressive, but I think this crowd's beyond that. I call them extremists. It was a guy in Portland talking about the story up there.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's politically involved, real liberal, and he's shaking his head at these Democratic socialists that are in the council. It was like, these people are crazy. These aren't liberals. These aren't Democrats. These are, you know.
They want to tear it down anarchists. And start over. The whole capitalist system is racist and oppressive.
Right.
And they want to start over.
But, you know, fortunately.
And they want to give away everything. Rent should be free. Healthcare obviously should be free. Most things you can think of that are anything close to the basics should be a right.
Fortunately for them, most of the people in L.A. City and in the state are asleep. And they're not paying attention. And they don't know what's going on. Somebody asked me the other day, why are all these things going wrong at the same time? I go, because nobody pays attention anymore.
Yeah.
Apathy took over. They're staring at their screens, looking at the TikTok scroll. Doesn't matter.
Right. And you left the front door open. They came in. They took over while you were asleep. Right. They squatted. And now this is the direction they're taking us with a more grim city with crime and homelessness.
And,
exactly
and
right.
It's turning out exactly the way they planned. This is what they wanted. They wanted to destroy the city. And they are.
Yeah. I mean, so the three that are going to run are Katie Porter, I call her the load from Orange County, who I think is still living like rent-free at UC Irvine.
Oh, yeah. She's
Adam Schiff, everybody knows about pencil neck.
Who ought to be in a mental institution.
And the only person in Congress that voted against invading Afghanistan after Osama bin Laden. And his group.
Oh, yeah, right. She's...
Barbara Lee of Oakland is supposed to run. I thought she was old, too.
She is old. Yeah. And she's a communist.
A congresswoman from Oakland.
Right? Actually, you really have three communists running.
So where does that leave us?
Well, we're living under communism now, so...
All right, we got a lot of stuff on the show today. We'll be talking next hour to a city council member from Culver City. They are banning encampments. We have to be clear about this. We're talking tents. Apparently, from what I understand, you can still roll up a sleeping bag in the park on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
but
that's
you can't have a big, like, permanent-looking encampment.
And that's connected to that appeals court ruling. We'll get into that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
They've crafted, They've crafted this to get around any lawsuits that would stick.
That's what they're hoping to do. And Santa Monica's declared a state of emergency over homelessness. These are the stories coming up. But we have a chance for you to win $1,000 next. This is the last week for now of the KFI Cash Refill Contest. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Oh, jeez.
Could you wait till I introduce you?
I have a lot of gas.
I was going to say, is this a digestive issue? It's all that vegetables.
All the veggies. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
You always dampen the show. You know, you're like a large sponge.
Yeah, I know.
You just come crushing down on all the fun and optimism. She was excited for Valentine's Day and you crushed her.
Exactly.
Right. Well, she started spitting on me.
No. You going to go out for a big vegan dinner tonight? Or
No, I'm not. No, oh, no.
Nothing special, huh?
No, nothing. Well,
We were talking about this before the show. Mandated holidays where you're forced to do something with your partner. That's really annoying.
I know, but they got half the population to say, well, yeah, it's great. Do it.
Yeah, I know. But I mean,
the other half is like, really?
Cultural, social pressure to go out to dinner is go away. Mind your own business.
Cultural, social pressure.
I didn't say just because I'm not going anywhere doesn't mean that I don't like Valentine's Day. And, you know,
it's kind of a being on a Tuesday, kind of a miss there.
Exactly.
I think it's, you know, usually on the weekends, people probably recognize it more. Coming up after 2:30, the latest on the objects in the sky. We have new information about these things flying around over the U.S. and Canada that were shot down. And we also learned that their first shot missed that object over Lake Huron.
Yeah, that guy needs to go back for training.
Well, it's not that big an object, but yeah, I guess it sure should be a way. All right, we'll give you all this coming up after 2:30. Today, it was finally announced a man by the name of Edwin Castro is the winner of the $2 billion Powerball jackpot that was revealed that we had a winner in California back on November 7th. California law requires the person to be identified. That's not the case with every state, but that's the case here. And I think you have about a year to step forward and claim your prize. So this guy waited about 3 months.
So we can make this guy a target of all the trolls in the world? That's right. What an idiotic requirement.
You think we should keep it anonymous?
Well, yeah, because the world's gotten stupid.
Yeah. I don't really know the reasons behind the debate as to whether or not to reveal someone's name or not.
The guy's going to get bothered by every jackass in the world.
But he's had 3 months to figure something out in terms of keeping himself. Maybe he's moved, changed his phone number, done a lot of things to go underground. He's in your bunker.
That's what you got to do now, huh? You have to change your life because
Everybody that world, you know and don't know will be coming looking to sell you something or borrow something.
I actually think that's a special type of hell when you publicly win something like $2 billion. The rest of your life is going to be so annoying. No one's going to treat you normally anymore.
And some lottery winners end up losing it all and then have drugs and alcohol and all sorts of stressors. I don't think that's the case with all of them, but they always highlight those stories where
there is an unusual.
A few years later, they're broke.
Well, there's a reason
but
they're buying.
But this much money, it'd be hard for you to lose it all.
There's a reason they're buying lottery tickets.
Yeah.
You think Bill Gates and Elon Musk spent their 20s buying lottery tickets?
No.
Okay. Successful people generally don't buy lottery tickets.
That is true.
All right. So then the ones that win really
they don't gamble a lot. That's true. Unless they're really high rollers who just go to Vegas for the fun of it.
Right.
And then, you know, they can spend like $10,000 on one hand of poker or something. But that's not a lot of people that are rich anyway.
Right.
You're right. Yeah. Well, all right. So just to be clear, the prize is $1.9 billion, but he chose the lump sum, which is a remarkably small $998 million. Think about that. More than half is gone to get the lump sum.
Well, in a few days.
Because that's the future value, present value.
In a few days, he'll get over that $1 billion mark.
Right.
A little bit of interest. Because
the way it works is they pay you out.
Market.
Yeah, they pay you out over the years, and eventually you would get $1.9 billion, but it'd be many years into the future. If you want to take it all now, they have to discount it back to the what they call the current value, or the present value.
Right.
And that's about $900 million. I explained this a few months ago, you didn't seem to understand, but you got it.
No, I understood it. I always understood it.
Oh, okay.
That's probably just annoying you.
That always happens. I bought the ticket at a service station in Altadena. Now, the thing, he didn't show up today, but he put out a statement. And John, what is one of the, not so much anymore, but in the days of the early Moist line, there'd always be a caller who would say what concerning the lottery money?
Isn't it supposed to be going for the schools?
Yes.
Why are the schools short of money?
Here's his statement today. As much as I am shocked and ecstatic to have won the Powerball drawing, the real winner is the California public school system. The mission of the California Lottery is to provide supplemental funding for California public education, both public schools and colleges, makes us a huge win for the state. As someone who received the rewards of being educated in the California public education system, it's gratifying to hear that as a result of my win, the California school system greatly benefits
as well. What, did some public relations agent write that for him?
It does sound very academically constructed.
As a guy, he's buying lottery tickets at a service station, and suddenly as somebody who is,
who has received the benefits of an education in California.
Nobody talks like that. That's a PR specialist who wrote that.
You win that much money, he's hired all sorts of handlers, I'm sure.
Exactly.
To handle his money, public relations.
That's a fake statement. And besides that, has he seen the test scores in this state? We have some of the largest percentages of kids who don't know math and don't know how to read.
Right.
So given another $156 million to this black sewage hole that is the California education system, isn't going to help anything.
Ray just texted me. I don't know if this is real. He's a security guard in his early 30s.
Well, there you go.
The winner.
So, yeah, he didn't write that. And you know what? He doesn't care about all the money that's going to the education system. The PR thought it would be
a good thing to say for
him to care.
And the lottery people said, "Could you please do this for us?"
Right? Yes, the lottery commission asked the PR agent, we want to remind people that the money is going to the education system.
Oh, definitely.
And it would be a great look if this winner would mention how thrilled he is that this money's going to the education system. I'd bet $1,000 that's what happened, that it never even occurred to this man to praise the education system and the money that's going into it. What? The whole thing is phony.
So the money that's going to the lottery, according to this report from the California State Lottery, they're going to get more than $2 billion for public schools for the first time in the fiscal year.
Yeah.
This is the time to point out, you know how much they spend? They spend over $136 billion. So this is about 1.36%.
Yeah.
And that's the point we always tried to make with regards to this. It's a drop in the bucket. And he did actually say supplemental funding. And
a lot of our listeners
over the years were like, we thought this was funding the schools, this lottery money. Not really. That's how they sold it when they had the ballot measure.
It doesn't fund the schools. It funds the teachers and the support staff. 80% of all the tax money for the schools goes for salaries and benefits and pensions for teachers, administrators, and support staff. So it's an employment operation. It's not the schools.
Right. And at 1.5%, it doesn't make that much difference.
And half the kids can't read, and half the kids can't do math, but they're graduated anyway. And when you try to buy a bagel and pay cash for it, it takes them an hour and a half to count the change. So that's the truth.
All right, up next, your flying object update. What we know now about these things in the sky that were shot down over North America. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Can you imagine winning the lottery and your response is to compliment the public education system in California?
Yeah, that was a joint effort there.
The public education system is the reason you're buying lottery tickets. KFI AM 640, John and Ken show, John Cobalt and Ken Shampoo.
Yeah, we want to tell you about the Moist line. It's coming back in just 3 days. So it's a reminder, leave a message. Use the iHeartRadio app. That's the microphone icon to leave the message directly there. Or you can, of course, leave one through the phone number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. After 2 o'clock, our guest will be a member of the Culver City Council. They want to crack down on encampments, homeless encampments. 3-2 was the vote. We'll get the details as to what they passed. And, of course, there are many people objecting to it. And it was funny because one of the council members that voted against it said, all this is going to do is move the problem to another city. Exactly. You got it right.
Wow. That's a smart guy.
Keep moving them on, and eventually they'll have to pick up and do something else with their lives.
There's another lottery ticket buyer right there.
Remember, it's a bumper sticker. Once you tolerate it, it will grow. That's all there is to it. Now, the update on the objects in the sky. Well, we found out today from the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, General Mark Milley. He's kind of a wild card, isn't he? From what I remember when Trump was president, wasn't he saying all sorts of wild things?
He and Trump did not get along.
Oh, is that what it was? I just remember he was pretty outspoken.
Trump was aggravated with him.
He had a news conference with the defense secretary, Lloyd Austin. And the missile strike that was carried out on an object floating over Lake Huron on Sunday, apparently the first Sidewinder missile missed. Uh-oh.
Mm.
I know. You imagine the reaction when you're like, uh-oh, where'd it go?
Now, what happens when that has a nuclear warhead on it?
Well, not to shoot this down, it wouldn't. But,
no.
But I think you could still get something collateral damage.
We're told that we have ways of intercepting nuclear missiles coming at us.
Oh, I see.
You see? So when we fire, we have to hit that nuclear missile dead on the first time. And if
we fire another one. No?
If we can't hit some stupid balloon.
Because they shot a second one and they got it.
Yeah,
the first one, they said, landed harmlessly in the water and never exploded. So it's somewhere at the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
The missile. So maybe somebody will go out there and look for it.
Some little fish nosing around is going to get it. And there it goes.
They said they went to great lengths to make sure the airspace is clear, the backdrop is clear. So he believes it landed harmlessly in the waters of Lake Huron. As to what these things are, and we're talking about not the Chinese spy balloon, and they're still analyzing that. By the way, they did say they think that the Chinese had a limited ability to steer the balloon. Because the day before it was shot down, it was maneuvering a bit. So there must have been some satellite way they were able to control it or something like that.
I think so, because the path it took was a strange path. That wasn't a path based on the wind.
The wind, the jet stream.
Right? Because that was going from Montana down to Missouri, and then it made a left for the Carolinas. Like, it was trying to find the quickest route out of
the U.S. It was trying
US
to get to
airspace.
Mexico. It was trying to cross the border and get out of the U.S.
That's where it should have gone. They should have directed that thing south.
But the three unidentified objects that were shot down over the weekend, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they were not sending out communication signals. They were unmanned. They had no propulsion. And they weren't being maneuvered. And they were, they believe, just being moved by prevailing winds. And they do believe that these objects were either commercial or, I like this other word, benign. So they weren't like a foreign government controlling them to spy or maybe even drop a weapon on us of some kind.
And they normally don't notice these because they have the radar settings not to pick this stuff up. Otherwise, right. I think there's probably hundreds of these floating around. All the time.
My personal opinion is there's lots of crazy aviation nuts out there who just like to launch things.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Just to see what's... Maybe there's a camera attached or something so they can see. I mean, we all know about people with drones, but these objects appear to be something else.
And companies.
And they could be companies,
And
right.
research for universities.
How do we know it wasn't a blimp? Now, that would have been pretty big, I guess. A large blimp.
Blow one of those up.
They've had hundreds and hundreds of unidentified flying objects over the years. And as we mentioned yesterday, the filter used to be don't bother.
Doesn't it show you?
They lowered the filter, and that's why they shot these three out, because people are really paying attention to this now and want to know, are we safe?
Doesn't it show you how stupid this country is, though, that several government officials had to come out and tell everyone that these are not sent by aliens?
It does. You know, I realized, and I was looking at one of the websites, probably the Daily Mail, they were making a big deal over there, you know, extraterrestrials, and what are they keeping from us?
Yeah, but what's the target audience of the Daily Mail?
I know. But they had so many stories this morning, I just started laughing, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're really tapping into that paranoia.
Yeah, because that's the supermarket tabloid.
Oh, of course it is. Audience. Weekly World News, right?
Right, Weekly World News when we were kids.
Right.
So, that, I mean, they, you know, there's that crowd out there who actually believe in this nonsense. And there's so many of them, you know, probably tens of millions of people that, yeah, the government has to say, no, it's not a space alien. It's not an extraterrestrial.
Good Lord. They say that bad weather, because they shot these down, it's winter over, you know, Canada, Alaska. It's making it difficult to recover whatever debris there is. They fell into icy, remote bodies of water. So, I mean, that's their official explanation as to why we don't know more about what these things are that they recovered.
Well, the one that was shot off the coast of Alaska, that's in within the Arctic Circle. Temperatures are in the minus 40s.
Oh.
I guess it's nobody wants to go out and work in the minus 40s.
I don't think you'd have to have special gear on.
Now, the second one fell over the Canadian Rockies. Wow. Up in the Yukon Territory of Canada, and that's no fun, right? when it's below zero, and you're going to go what climbing the Rocky Mountains
with that, right?
And then the third one in Lake Huron is probably 200 feet deep. Yeah. So,
and again, the one over the Yukon was described as cylindrical, smaller than the spy balloon. The one that we talked about yesterday. Had an octagonal structure with strings hanging off, but no discernible payload.
I wonder if all these floating objects were sending signals up to satellites so that whoever sent the object out was going to get, you know, weather readings or whatever they were looking for.
Yeah.
And those companies or countries or and universities, whoever sent them up, ought to acknowledge and say, yeah, that was ours. You know, the one over Lake Huron, we sent that thing up.
You would think someone might step forward and say, yeah, that was our thing, whatever we're doing with it.
Right. If these really were benign and you were doing it for a legitimate commercial or scientific purpose, just say so.
Maybe
right?
They're afraid they're going to get in trouble just because it got shot down and they didn't have permission. I don't know how it works, but I don't
know. Probably nobody seeks permission.
Probably. Nobody seeks permission for anything anymore.
No.
All right, we got more coming up. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Yeah, we're now on 1-4. You can use that app to access the podcast, Johnny Ken On Demand, right after we finish up at 4 o'clock, or go to KFIAM640.com to access the podcast. It's free, right, John, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely free. And you get what you pay for every time with our show.
Yeah, that's a nice way to say it. Mm. Coming up after 2 o'clock, Culver City trying to do something about homeless encampments, a 3-2 vote. We'll get into the specifics of the crackdown. We talked last week about the area of Los Angeles known as Del Rey, very close to Culver City borders, and we talked about Culver Boulevard. There's a big median there that was with a large homeless encampment that they were working on getting the people out of there, and were pretty successful. When we had Tracy Park on last week, John, there was like one guy left who was still camped on the
yeah,
median, I think.
Right. I wonder what happened to him.
I don't know.
I want that guy gone.
Maybe he feels like he's got it all to himself now.
Yeah, well.
Maybe he's excited.
They got to make him disappear.
Feeling lonely.
You know, we'll get into it when we talk about Culver City. I think I know why Culver City and Santa Monica have both made the announcements they've made. They've suddenly awakened to the homelessness problem.
Yeah, John's referring to Santa Monica's declared a state of emergency.
Yeah.
Allegedly, that frees up money and cuts, well, we know this from the city of LA's declaration. It's supposed to cut back on the red tape, but... All right, we'll talk about this after the news at 2 o'clock. We're just talking about the flying objects that were shot down by the American and Canadian military over the last several days, over the weekend, and, of course, the Chinese spy balloon before that. So this brings us back. You and I saw this headline. I thought it was related to the Chinese spy balloon. It is not, but it does bring us back on the John and Ken show to where we actually took the show. I think it was to Pasadena where they wanted to ban the balloons. Remember the Mylar balloon ban?
Yeah.
I think we went up there to a park and we did like a whole show.
Yes, we celebrated the freedom of owning Mylar balloons.
Laguna Beach. The city council there is about to ban the use of balloons on public property as well as the sale and distribution of all balloons, whether they're Mylar or hand-blown. It's a tricky thing to say.
I'm sorry.
Hand blown?
Well, whatever you're into.
Guy said that. Fines could range from $100 to $500. They're going to finally approve this.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Next week.
You bunch of virtue signaling, cute little progressives. Stop it with your balloon bans. People who want to use balloons in Laguna Beach are going to go next door and buy a balloon and then bring it back to their homes.
Yeah, but you can't have it in public. The cops will drive around and look for you.
Oh, and
you're holding a balloon. They can ticket you.
Sure. And, really?
It's not just about buying them. It's about possessing them.
But if I'm taking a dump on the sidewalk, that'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't think Laguna Beach has as many dumpers. I don't know. I haven't been there in a while, but I don't think they have a big homeless problem. Everybody has homeless people.
The point is whether they enforce all the quality of life laws that nobody seems to enforce anymore.
Right. Well, this is about the sea life again. It started with a man by the name of Rich German, who's a big paddle boarder, and he just got tired of seeing the balloons out there in the ocean.
So the guy who spends his day on a paddleboard is now the activist.
He gathered 1,500 signatures to support a balloon ban in Laguna Beach. He finally got their attention.
Do you know how many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of signatures have been on homeless petitions that they completely ignore?
This is true. But those are people. These are just objects. Balloons are easier to manage.
The virtue signaling stuff. We got all these petitions and people complain. Yeah. Show me the dead animals from the balloons.
Because in a study done in Australia, balloons were found to be the most harmful to seabirds, marine life, and turtles.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say specifically.
In Australia.
Apparently, if they ingest them, it can clog their digestive system.
If they ingest
them. And the strings can wrap around their heads and necks.
Because I remember the plastic straw scam. They banned plastic straws.
Oh, here's a vet that says she found pieces of balloons in the stomachs of sea lions.
But the plastic straw scam, it was one sea turtle.
Yeah, they're quoting several vets here that said they found. Now, it doesn't say it killed the sea lion. It just says they found.
Right. Do they have like one? And specifically in the Laguna area, not in Australia. But in Laguna, do they have
you
any evidence?
Show us the marine animal bodies is what you want.
Well, if you're going to ban something, if you're going to take freedoms away from people, yes, have evidence. Have clear, convincing evidence that this really is an issue.
Well, here's a backdoor. Glenn Gray, CEO of the Pacific Marine Mammal Center in Laguna Beach, says that the balloons are mistaken for food. They ingest them, and they get a false sense they're full, so they come in here with malnutrition. So they're not dead, but the balloons make them think that they got food.
A dumb animal if you don't know the difference between.
That's why I said he came in the back door with that.
Between
one,
a fish and a balloon. They don't have any dead anything in the Laguna Beach area. This is just a bunch of people preening over their environmental credentials. Look what we did.
And I happen to like balloons, but I'm a very safe disposer of balloons. I pop them. I wrap them up carefully. I put them in a bag. No, I don't just let them go in the street, right? That's what this is. How else could they end up in the ocean unless you're letting them go in the street or otherwise fly out of your garbage can or something? No, there is a neighbor down the street that apparently, had a birthday party for somebody, and there's all these balloons. He didn't pop them. They're just sitting there in the alleyway waiting for the trash. I think he tied them to the garbage can.
Wow, and it squirrel?
They could get loose.
By the way, you've got to be an idiotic animal to eat a balloon and think it's a fish.
Well, animals don't have reason or logic.
How do they know?
Well, it doesn't taste right.
If it's brightly colored and it looks like a fish color.
It doesn't taste right. It doesn't chew right.
Well, dogs eat poop and all kinds of crappy things. I can't imagine that those things taste good.
I don't know. Maybe it does. My dog eats poop.
I can't imagine.
My dog will go in the litter box and eat the cat poop. He loves it so much.
Because they're animals. That's what they do.
Now, is eating a Mylar balloon considered vegan? I guess it would be.
I think so, yeah. Not that I would want that, but yeah, I guess it would be.
Well, this whole story in the Orange County Register is just about the harm of the balloons.
It's always exaggerated. The last people I believe, period, is I believe this group, I disbelieve this group more than I disbelieve the Los Angeles Times. That gives you an idea. It is always based on hysteria, and they have a never-ending list of issues in order to raise more money for their organizations and their fake nonprofits.
Well, our paddleboarder is going to be out there. He says there's a lot of balloons after Valentine's Day in the ocean.
That's right. Well, he can go paddle around and pick them up.
All right. Next is Councilmember Dan O'Brien from Culver City to explain what they voted on 3-2, the city council in Culver City, concerning the homeless and the encampments. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.